Welcome to the Spiritual Leadership Podcast with Pastor Paul Chappell, pastor of Lancaster Baptist Church and founder and president of West Coast Baptist College.
Well, welcome to another episode of the Spiritual Leadership Podcast with Dr. Paul Chappell. This is my dad, and my name is Larry Chappell. I'm here to host the podcast, and today we're going to be talking about developing a weekly schedule. And Dad, I'm not sure if I'm in trouble and you brought me up here just to talk about these things, but I'm all ears today. I'm not going to have a lot to contribute, but I'll be all ears.
Yeah, we're going to have a one-man staff meeting today.
Yeah, I don't even know if these cameras are even recording. Go ahead and tell me.
Well, I'll tell you what. You think about time as a gift from God. And as you know, Larry, we had a funeral this morning that we conducted. And it was for a man who had a life well spent. He redeemed the time. That's what Ephesians 5:16 tells us to do, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And, you know, I've really learned that you can't manage time. It's really more about managing yourself. But I'd like to share some things today that might help us to take our life's priorities and learn how to calendarize them so that we can be more effective for Christ and redeem the time.
I'm excited about this podcast, Dad. I've seen firsthand. I've been with you on trips, on airplanes, and it seems like you can be productive just about wherever you are. And I'm amazed at your workload. And frankly, sometimes I'll have someone ask me, you know, how does your dad do all of it? And I think, obviously, you know, God's grace. But you have managed the time that God has given you so well. So I'm looking forward to today's discussion.
Well, you know, when it comes to getting a lot done, it is God's grace. We have a lot of good help around here, as you know. And I admire your life, Larry, from the standpoint. In fact, I was just talking about you yesterday, that you have an ability to unplug and focus well with your family, with the teens, with the church, whatever you're doing at the time. So, you know, some of us who are multitaskers and getting a lot done can learn how to relax a little more too. But I think when it comes to some basic principles for taking everything that any of us would want to get done and placing them out on a planned calendar that will hold us accountable, I think I have some things today for every different type of leader, irrespective of their temperament.
Hmm. And I think the time of year that this podcast is going to be released is great too, as we're kind of wrapping up 1 year and starting another. So where's a good starting point when it comes to developing a weekly schedule?
Well, I really think the first thing that we do when developing schedules is determine our own priorities in life. Before we look at the calendar itself, before we look at maybe the different restraints of days and months and years, we look at who am I? What has God given to me? And by that, for example, I look at the fact that I'm a man of God, I'm a saved man, so that's going to require some time to be a man of God. You can be saved and not be a man of God, so I consider that. Then I consider the fact I'm a husband, and if that's a true priority in my life, that's going to show up on the weekly calendar. I'm a father, I'm a grandfather. I spent some time just yesterday blocking family time for 2021 and 2022. And then, of course, I'm a pastor, and that has some facets. That has a leadership component and a teaching component. And then, obviously, I have West Coast Baptist College. I'm president of the college. And then, in addition to that, just some other teaching ministries that I do. So I write those things out on one sheet of paper to begin with, because if those are God-given priorities, I don't want to neglect them in the planning stage. And I have a tremendous new planner coming out. It'll be available in time for Christmas, in fact, and we're going to share more about that later. But the Stewarding Life Planner Revised Edition not only teaches someone how to identify their roles, but then in the planner has, at the beginning of each week, a place to write out those roles and then to begin scheduling them in the week. So effective planning begins with knowing who God has made you to be. What are your individual priorities? Because obviously your calendar is going to look different than my calendar. You have three beautiful children. You have three beautiful daughters that are going to require a different level of attention, different times, and so forth. But those priorities are real. And so start by determining those priorities.
And you kind of kind of evaluate and determine what those priorities are. How often do you, I know you look at them every day, but how often do you step back and see and maybe shift time around between what is a priority? You know, because roles change throughout time, I guess.
Right. Well, in the new planner, we have an exercise that you review those roles weekly. And then also we advocate quarterly planning days or self-retreats where you just pull aside. So I actually pray over my roles every day. And I just pray as a part of my prayer list to be the man of God God wants me to be the right kind of a husband, the right kind of a pastor, etc. But I do believe those priorities shift in emphasis based upon the passing of years and the growth of ministry, and should be reviewed at least quarterly.
So you start off by determining your priorities, kind of outlining those. What else? What's the next step?
Well, from there, I begin to develop the schedule. That's where I'm going to physically take out a calendar, and I'm going to determine, okay, my walk with God, what does that need daily? So that means that daily, I'm going to have devotional time with the Lord. And again, in the New Stewarding Life Planner, we have a place to document, you know, what I've read, how God spoke to me, prayers that have been answered. It's not particularly a journal, but it's a little accountability for me. I've used something similar all this past year. I'm going to use this new Striving Together product this year. So I begin to put the priorities on the calendar. So then literally, as I'm looking at the priorities, I'll say, okay, I've been married, as you know, 40 years this month, and this month of December. And so what do I need to do to continue to keep that right? And that's going to require me to maybe set some time aside to not just remember a birthday or Christmas, but a date night. As you know, Mom and I like to sit down at least every 2 weeks, if not every week, just with our own calendars too. You know, we spend some time planning for the family and planning time together. And then for the church calendar is accomplished normally by mid-November. It's 95% done. So I'm going to take that calendar, place all of that onto my calendar, and it all goes in sequential role-based sequence.
And all of this is scalable because I've seen the calendar that Mrs. Furso brings out where, you know, it's just, I've never seen so many things packed on. It's not even yearly. It'd be a multi-year calendar.
Right.
But everything you're talking about, you've scaled up with as the ministry has grown. These are habits that you've put into place.
Right.
And speak to that.
Well, I think that someone would look at my calendar, and a lot of people do. Sometimes I'll have it out on an airplane tray or something. Someone would go, what in the world is going on there? You know, because it's all color-coded and so forth. And the color codes, by the way, reflect priorities, right? So, you know, green reflects pastoral, and, you know, yellow reflects things for the college and other colors for the family. But they are scalable because I'm able to take those events, and as I write them out into a written calendarized plan, I'm no longer a prisoner to those events. It really helps me to place these things on the calendar, and as we'll get into it in just a moment, I put them on electronic calendars, so they're popping up in Outlook. I mean, I even go to the extreme of taking the planners that are given to me by the pastoral staff, and when you give me your planner in a few weeks for your ministries, I'll take the high end of what you're doing and put it into my Outlook, so that on a given day, I'm going to open up, you know, December 12th, and it's going to tell me my high-end things and the leadership team's high-end things. That's going to give me the ability to ask questions, to give gratitude, to motivate according to others as well that I'm trying to lead. Hmm.
So as you develop your schedule, you look at it annually. Do you want to talk about how you look at it? Because I know you'll look at things annually, monthly, and daily. Will you talk about the differences of what you're looking
at? I will, yeah. On the annual plan, we're talking about setting the big rocks in place. So, you know, obviously a day is going to be kind of a micromanaged situation with priorities A, B, and C. But for the annual, I'm going to put big things there. So again, going back to the priorities, okay. As a man of God, what are some things that are big to me? Well, that would include 4 times a year where I'm going to take maybe a day just for prayer or a couple of days just for prayer and Bible reading for me. It's going to include the revival meeting of the church. I'm going to take that like I'm a member of the church, that's all for me. And so as I look at the role that I have as a man of God, in obviously I'm going to have daily devotions, but what are some big rocks? Then I'm going to look at our marriage, and I'm going to look at the anniversary and some of the things like that. I'm going to look at our family, and there's times when you guys are going to have vacation just with you and your family. There's times when we like to get there with our extended family, and I'm going to put those down, because if I don't plan some of those things a year out, they don't happen. And then when it comes to the church, I'm going to take the big events of the church, whether it's a stewardship campaign, revival meeting, whether it's camps, leadership conference, whatever. I want to get all of that there. And I really enjoy that view of the year at a glance, because it lets me see the flow, and it can show me if things are getting too busy in one given month or quarter, you know. And there's a few of those we still haven't solved, like April when we have youth conference, and Easter, it seems like it all bunches, but we're getting somewhat better over the years.
And around the same time of year that you're working on your annual plan, and as a staff, we're all working on our annual planners, at the same time, we're also working on the budget, too. So as right. we're looking at the big rocks, right. you know, we're also...
Yeah, and that's a big part of it, because obviously, if we pull something out of the calendar, it's going to have a budget impact. And COVID has brought upon us amazing calendar restraint and amazing budget decreases as far as income budget. But with the calendar decreases, we've had less spending, and God's provided through this year, which we're thankful for. But definitely the calendar is going to affect the budget for sure.
What about monthly and weekly considerations?
So with the monthly, I like to take a look at that actually every day, because it helps me to pace. So for example, I might look at a week from now and I might say, you know, I don't know how I did this, but I don't really have a day off there. And that, as you know, can happen. So I might determine to take a half a day extra before or after, take an extra day. So I like to be able to look at the monthly schedule from the standpoint of pacing and regulating. And so if I am in a season that is hyperextended, at least I know that it's intentional. Now, in the last 10 years or so, I've tried to do that less. Just, you know, you have less adrenaline and flexibility as you get maybe a little bit older. But there are still seasons like that. So the month at a glance helps you to pace, and it also helps you to think through how you're going to be able to support those priorities. For example, in our ministry here, it's not uncommon in a normal season of ministry to have a high school basketball game, a college basketball game, a church men's fellowship, and, you know, a couple of other things, guests in between. And so I look at that and I say, all right, if I miss this week's game for the high school, I'm going to go to the next one. But if I see that that's homecoming for the high school, then I'm going to go to that and miss something for something else. So the month at a glance helps you with pacing, and it helps you with prioritizing.
You were doing this yesterday, too, even with the family, talk about different roles with ministering family, because you were texting me and Matt, and you were already eyeing the date after Spiritual Leadership Conference. So here's going to be a time where it's going to be, you know, late nights, you know, constant running gun, you know, probably pretty exhausting by the time it's done. But then you were already looking at the week afterwards, catching up, being with family.
Yeah, you know, when it comes to time management, and another term you can use is energy management. So it's kind of like you expend and then you replenish. You expend and you replenish. And you know, there have been seasons in my life where I wasn't great at that, and where I was just not replenishing and kind of thinking I could work through. Well, what I've tried to do, and that's a great example, I looked ahead at our 35th anniversary conference, and we want to invite everybody to come and be with us October 1st through the 3rd. It's going to be awesome, the 35th anniversary Spiritual Leadership Conference. But I know what I'm going to put into that physically. It's going to be a very demanding time leading up to it and then executing, and we're excited about it. But what I was doing yesterday was saying, okay, I'm going to be dead tired, and so I'm going to take some time to pull apart. And I thought, you know, 35 years, I owe that to the Lord, and I owe a lot to my family. And that's how I feel about it. And so I was planning some time when we could all get away, and as brain dead as we might be, you know, just rest and maybe golf or whatever you guys want to do.
Yeah, we'll golf. That sounds good.
Okay.
What about, let's talk about weekly. How do you plan, and what does your week look like, and how do you plan for that?
I love this quote by Peter Drucker: executives who do not manage themselves for effectiveness cannot possibly expect to manage their associates and subordinates. So on a weekly basis, what I want to do is model order. Let all things be done decently and in order. Paul told Titus to go to Crete and to set in order the things that are wanting. So what I have found when you talk about a weekly schedule is that no one guy can duplicate the next guy's, right? Somebody might be watching this podcast today that is bivocational, you know, so they've got to work 30 hours a week or something. Somebody might have a church running 80, 800, 8,000. So you have to scale it, as you mentioned a moment ago. But what helps me is to know that certain days are for certain things, okay? So just quickly to run through. So on Monday is a day when I'm not as mentally alert, but that's a day when I'm going to try to get some physical rest along with maybe some light correspondence. Typically on Sunday night, I'll wind out dictating maybe 15 or 20 letters, people that I heard were in the hospital, things that came up on Sunday. I try to get that out Sunday night or early Monday morning. I'm the type of person that if I can get that off my mind, I can relax a little better on Monday. So Monday is kind of a day to process those types of details that came through the weekend and then just start letting down and you know, taking a drive with mom, doing something that's just not going to require a lot of brain power. At some point, I will either, you know, golf or do something like that. But at some point later in that day, I'll start to do some reading, and whether a book that I'm reading or just reading for next week's sermon. But Monday is for me more of that down day. Tuesday, which is the day that you guys are off, becomes my first real study day. And Tuesday morning early, you know, after exercise and devotions, is when I start really delving into the next week's sermon. And I like to take a lot of time that morning working on study and reading. Tuesday afternoon, a little more study and reading, and then doing some correspondence and things of that nature. Wednesday, again, some study, and then Wednesday I start to have meetings. We have the pastoral meeting there. I have a college class at 12, and then I have some appointments in the afternoon. Thursday, I have study in the morning again. W.A. Criswell, years ago, wrote a book on pastoral ministry and talked about giving your mornings to God. So I study, and then I have afternoon meetings on Thursday. Friday, I've tried in recent years to keep lighter so that I could study for sure and finish the sermons, get the outlines to the guys and the graphics. And then Friday afternoon, do some either soul winning, some appointments, visitation. And then Saturday's a combination of visitation, soul winning, and study again. So in the midst of that, as you know, Larry, there's going to be, hey, brother so-and-so's here from Ohio, and so-and-so's here from Korea. And so then, But I get those big rocks in the weekly schedule. Then we can look back and say, okay, where can we drop some of this other in? But I can't let all the other stuff squeeze out those main priorities. So
what percentage would you say, once you have your week outlined that like that, are you sticking to that schedule 95%, 100%? And then, you know, how often does your week actually look like it was planned?
Yeah.
And how do you remain, you know, flexible, or do you have any margin built in case something does change?
The biggest flexibility for me, and we haven't been doing a lot of Monday, Tuesday meetings because of COVID, but in the normal seasons of ministry, when I'm preaching somewhere on a Monday night or a Tuesday night, the way it flips is I'll be on a plane Monday morning, and so I'll have my laptop open, I'll be doing some correspondence, maybe paying some bills, whatever, just it's semi-light, but you're traveling, you got up early. And then I'll preach and normally stay up late, and Tuesday is a long day as well. So what I do there is I'll switch and try to take rest time on Friday, because normally by Friday I need to rest to get into the weekend. So yeah, you've got to flip those things that way and look and see, is it a travel week or is there company coming in? And then know that the priorities are not going to be neglected. Or if there's a priority, like let's say you don't get as much family time because there's a revival meeting, then you know that you're going to, the following week, make that up. And that's where that month at a glance helps, because you're seeing that, you don't like it, but you're predetermined on how it's going to be ratified and rectified.
Let's talk about your daily schedule in just a minute. But before we do that, what are some of the things that you do that kind of, a lot of the things on your calendar are, even the things that you enjoy, they're depleting in terms of your energy. What are some of the things that you do that restore you and mom?
Well, I would just say, first of all, and I'm not the expert at this. I'm working back to getting in shape, but I really feel that staying in the best shape we can is a foundation for everybody. And so I try to hit the elliptical, 5 days a week, and keep my energy up in that way, and with getting as much rest and diet and so forth. Beyond that, mom and I enjoy sometimes just taking a drive somewhere and having lunch. We enjoy being with family. We all have relationships that deplete and then that put back into us, right? And so we enjoy being with, folks from the church that are replenishing friends as well. And mom loves to play games. I'm not great at playing games, but sometimes we'll do that if it's a replenishing thing for her. And then I enjoy getting out playing golf or, a couple times a year going hunting. But you can't live just for those big things. You have to have some times throughout the week where you're being replenished. And everyone has to figure out what that looks like.
What about your daily schedule? How do you handle that?
Well, besides the big rock things that we talked about, just, you've got to come into dealing with disruptions to your schedule. And that's something that as you deal with your daily schedule, you're going to find that your best laid plans get interrupted. And so that's where you have to have grace and be flexible. Now, sometimes you have to say no. Someone said it's easy to say no when there's a greater yes burning inside. And so, someone just drops by and you're already in the midst of another meeting or you're in the midst of study. But, typically I try to be as accommodating as I can be, but still I fight for those big times of study and prayer and family and so forth.
And we talked a little bit already about your weekly. We already went through what, your week looks like for you and how you plan that. Let's wrap this up by talking about interruptions, even divine interruptions. How do you plan but then stay flexible?
Well, I think COVID's the biggest example of that because it just interrupted everything. And we literally just had to take stuff off the calendar. These are God's appointments, disappointments are sometimes His appointments. And so, you accept them as from the Lord. It doesn't mean you resign yourself to doing nothing. But it's like I was saying this morning in one of the meetings, right now we're not dealing with the masses of people that we're used to, but who are the individual leaders that we can train and develop? How can I take a time that's an interrupted time of my normal, but still be highly effective? And I think those are the questions you ask when those seasons come. Your grandmother, my mom, passed away recently. There have been responsibilities that came upon me to prepare for services, to minister to my extended family, and somewhere along the line, too, for me to process that loss. Well, I think probably years ago I would have just barreled through it like a diesel going down the road, but I'm trying to take the time to see what does God have in this for me. So those interruptions, I think we need to ask, is this God-ordained? And if it is, walk slowly through it, right? If it's just somebody that's a time waster, or something that's just trying to pull you off the priorities, you've got to learn how to graciously get off that and get back to what you're called to do.
And you have, whether it's mom or Mrs. Furso or others, that you guys are all lock and sync on this. You look at your calendar together.
Yeah.
You all know what the color coordination means.
Right.
What would your advice be to... perhaps ministry leaders, or just anyone that's come across this podcast, as far as them implementing the calendar for themselves, but then maybe with their teams as well?
Well, every leader has to look at these priorities and projects and events, and he has to decide, do I do this? Do I delegate this? Do I delay this? We make those decisions every day. It's like the triage nurse in the emergency room. She has to decide what gets the attention first. And so I think that's the importance of this wonderful planner that we have, the Stewarding Life Planner. It forces you to sit down at the beginning of the day and look at those priorities. And if you're a parent and the Holy Spirit says, you haven't done what you need to do, then you move that up, And sometimes it's your spouse or your administrative assistant that says, this is still needing to get done. And one of the ways we do that is we have my daily schedule every day, And at the bottom of that, Mrs. Furso, my administrative assistant, puts just miscellaneous things that are pending, like we need to answer this guy's request to speak, we need to call this member in the hospital. And that's really helpful to me, because those are some of the things that maybe didn't get on my big rocks, but those are things she's aware of. So we're working together as a team to make sure that nothing falls through the cracks.
Yeah, that's great. So the Stewarding Life updated planner is going to be available within the next few weeks.
It'll be available before Christmas. It has 40 or 50 pages explaining priorities, explaining how to calendarize weekly, monthly, annually. It has a weekend review now that's a tremendous help, so that you can really look at what you accomplished the last week and then what rolls into the next week. It has some other features I really like from the standpoint of listing out those life roles. I like the fact that it has great quotes in it. It has a great Bible reading schedule. It's much more than just a stewarding life journal. You can journal your devotions, as I said, but this is a planner whereby you can take some of the principles we've talked about today and you can take your daily plan, write it out, prioritize it, A, B, C, roll it over to the next day, and then rest knowing that it's there and it's waiting for you.
Dad, I know your calendar is as digital as any calendar. You're all in Outlook and synced up on your iPhone and things like that. But I love the look and the feel of this calendar. And I think there's just something to a pen and paper, something tangible that you could grab.
Right. Now, I know there's going to be people out there that don't agree with this, but I'm so on board with that, because there's something about me personally that when I put something down on paper with a pen, it gets into my brain. And something really personal, like being a man of God, being a husband, things of that nature. And then one other thing, carrying this planner helps me. So when I see it, it tells me, don't forget your devotions, don't forget your exercise, don't forget to look at what you need to do for Terry, whatever. And I like having a tangible reminder, because for me, even though I have Outlook and I can pop it up, when I get to the office and tons of stuff is there, there's a lot of super important things before I get to the office that I don't want to forget about. So I love the planner. I love the work that we've done in revising it. I really want to encourage all of our ministry friends to go to Striving Together Publications and get one. It'll be a great help to them as well.
Yeah, I don't know, for me, sometimes when I hop on my computer or my phone and look at the planner, before long I'm looking at something else. I'm reading the news or whatever. Right. So I think there's just something helpful, especially in those moments when you're disconnecting and looking and planning, just to have a tool like this.
Yeah, Stephen Covey years ago in his book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, talked about the different time quadrants. And he talked about quadrant two, which was the planning quadrant. And that's what I'm talking about when I say a quarterly retreat, or, getting even in the morning that time with God, where you're really planning that day out. So that you're not going to be just captive to whatever happens. For me, it can happen on the parking lot on the way in. There's so many things. So I've got to have that plan. And that morning with God, looking at those priorities, for me, it's sacred. And then I pray over those same priorities. And the Holy Spirit convicts me over them. And it's just like when I pray for the church family. I have the directory there in my study. I'll be praying along for some families and I'll think, I haven't seen them, or I haven't met them, or wonder how their surgery went. Things prompt to my mind, I jot those things down. Same thing in the morning when I sit down with that planner. Either the scriptures convict me, or looking at the priorities prompts me, but it makes me a better and a more effective Christian leader. And I highly recommend it for everyone.
Dad, thanks for taking the time to walk us through how you plan, not just your day, but your month, your year. And if you get a chance, go to strivingtogether.com and check out this planner that we're talking about. You may already have a system that you use, and this would be a great complement to that. And maybe you don't have a system, and this would be a great start. So just in time for Christmas, I'd recommend you head over to strivingtogether.com and check out that planner. Dad, thanks again for being with us.
Thank you, Larry.
Stay tuned for next month's podcast. And if you would, share this with your friends. We appreciate you sharing the podcast. Also, give us a review on iTunes.
Excellent.
It would be a great help to
the
podcast.
We really appreciate that. And thank you for partnering with us. And have a blessed Christmas. And we look forward to seeing God use plans that are perfectly made for His glory in the new year.
We trust you enjoyed this episode of Spiritual Leadership Podcast. If there's a question or topic you would like Pastor Chapel to address in future episodes, send an email to qa@lancasterbaptist.org.